fellow friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We are so glad that you have joined us today, and we earnestly pray that this broadcast is going to be a very special blessing to you. If you're a Christian, it's going to help you to be emboldened in your faith, to be confident in your prayer life, to be conscious of the fact that you are part of a great number who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Friend, it's not your denominational affiliation. And there's some fine, wonderful, great denominations. And for the sake of coordination and accountability, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's not your denominational affiliation in and of itself, amen, that's going to save you. It is being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we just want you to stay tuned today and pray that you are blessed. If you are listening by computer, as WMAF streams live 24 hours a day, anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world, we welcome you today to this broadcast. And if you are listening because you have come to our website and downloaded one of these editions of Let's Talk About Jesus there, we're glad you discovered us. We're glad you came to visit us. And we pray that that the broadcast that you're about to hear will be a very special blessing to you. Praise God. Amen. If you're not a Christian, we invite you to be our very, very special guest today as we share the wonderful story of God's love and His redemptive love for you today. Amen. God loves you. Make no mistake about that. And He has a wonderful plan to save you, forgive all of your sins, treat you as if you had never sinned. And I know that sounds too good to be true, and we're all wary of things that sound too good to be true. But I'll tell you something right now. This is not too good to be true. This is the truth according to the Word of God. Amen. So get ready to get blessed today as we go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 for our text today on the theme, There's Power in the Blood of Jesus, or the Power of the Blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And while you're turning in your Bibles, if you're going to study with us, we'd like to invite you to come to our website. Just type in THCOG. That stands for the Holy Church of God. We're an affiliate with Independent Assemblies of God International out of San Diego, California, since 1974 in good standing. Praise the Lord. God has been gracious to us, and we've enjoyed the covering and accountability of our group of churches that affiliate with one another. But right now, all of the walls of denominational affiliations come down, and we stand on a common ground as Christians at the foot of the cross of Jesus to look upon that cross and behold anew and afresh Him who shed His blood, suffered, and died for us today. There's mighty power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the cross, the message of the cross where that blood was shed today. And that constitutes the centerpiece of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's get into our study today. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 18, it says, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. I want to declare something today, loud and clear, on the onset, that the blood of Jesus is precious beyond description. And yet I'm going to do my very best to biblically describe to you so that somehow we may get a glimpse of the love that motivated God to give His Son and the love that caused Jesus to stay on the cross that He could have come down from any time He chose to. What manner of love is this? What kind of love is this that the Father hath bestowed upon us? I want to proclaim that Christ's death on the cross to save sinners like you, friend, and like me, is the greatest, most powerfully positive event in all of human history. And I want to shout it from the housetops that I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I want to praise Him this day who took my place, my punishment, my shame, my guilt, my curse, my judgment, my sin, and my iniquity, and gave me His innocence, literally His righteousness. I want to take all the love and gratitude in my heart today and pour it on the One who took my place on the cross. Praise the Lord. Amen. C.H. Spurgeon wrote these words, "If you believe in Jesus, that is to say, if you trust in Him, all the merits of Jesus are your merits, and they are imputed to you. All the suffering of Jesus are your sufferings. Every one of His merits is imputed to you. You stand before God as if you were Christ, because Christ stood before God as if He were you. He in your stead, you in His stead." Substitution, that is the word. Christ, the substitute for sinners. Christ standing for men and bearing the thunderbolts of the divine opposition to all sin. He being made sin for us who knew no sin. Man standing in Christ's place. Sinful man, fallen man that has repented and receiving the sunlight of divine favor instead of Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified, how? Not by works. That is not the link, but being justified by faith. The Scripture declares we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus offers to God the substitution. Through faith we accept it. And from that moment, God accepts us. Hallelujah. I like what John Trapp said too, to quote some great ministers today. He said, "Christ is now as fresh unto me as if He had shed His blood, but this very hour. Do you see Him dying in your place, bearing the penalty of your sins? Is that great truth fresh to you every day? Begin your day with grateful thanksgiving to God that Jesus loved you and died for you. Because of His substitutionary death, God makes us righteous with a righteousness of His very own." Praise God. No wonder Paul said in the New Testament, "In being found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is by the law, but the righteousness which is of God in Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. I am so glad today to declare the blood of Jesus Christ and to declare the merits of that blood and to claim it in my life and to tell you today that you have a standing with God that Satan simply can't shake, because if it was your righteousness, he could pick it apart, because there is none fully, totally righteous, the Scripture declares. No, not one, except for Jesus. Amen. But the Bible said God has laid on Him the iniquity of us all, that He might grant unto us, impute unto us, put to our account the righteousness of His innocent Son, while His Son is punished for our sins that we were truly guilty of. Jesus said when at the Last Supper, what we base all of our Holy Communion services on, the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, He took and broke the bread and He said, "This is my body which is broken for you." And then He took the cup and He said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. This is the new covenant." One translation said, "This is the new covenant ratified and established by my blood." Hallelujah. Friend, the blood of Jesus is what makes the new covenant so powerful and makes it so precious. The reason for all the benefits and blessings of the new covenant and for all this power and victory that's promised us is singular. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. The old covenant established by the blood of slain animals was just a type and a foreshadow of what would come in full view and full fulfillment in the new covenant. the new covenant is based squarely on the precious blood of Jesus. You see, both Old and New Covenants are blood covenants. Your Bible is separated by Old and New Testament. Amen. But the word testament literally means, specifically means, covenant. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And both covenants are blood covenants. I want to read from Exodus 24, verse 7 and 8. It said, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all of these words. So Moses took the blood. What blood was it? It was the blood of a previously sacrificed animal. He took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. There was a sacrifice of an animal. Then there was its blood applied to the people, and therefore the ratification of this covenant. Jesus, hundreds of years later, holds a cup and says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Friend, there is a blood sacrifice, but this sacrifice will be very different. In the new covenant, Jesus is both the priest who intercedes and offers the sacrifice, and the lamb who is slain, the sacrifice itself. I love what the Dutch theologian, missionary, and pastor Andrew Murray, in his excellent little book, The Power of the Blood of Jesus, reminds us of, and of great biblical truths. Listen, and I quote him today, from the beginning to the end of Scripture, from the closing of the gates of Eden to the opening of the gates of heaven, the heavenly Zion, there runs through the Scripture a golden thread. It is the blood that unites the beginning and the end, that gloriously restores what sin had destroyed. And he continues to say, God has no other way of dealing with sin or the sinner save through the blood of Jesus Christ. For victory over sin and the deliverance of the sinner, God has no other means or thought than the blood of Jesus. Yes, it is indeed something that surpasses all understanding. All the wonders of grace are focused here. The incarnation by which he took upon himself our flesh and blood. The love that spared not itself but surrendered itself to death. The righteousness which could not forgive sin till the penalty was borne. The substitution by which he is the righteous one atoned for us, the unrighteous. The atonement for sin and the justification of the sinner thus made possible. Renewed fellowship with God together with the cleansing and sanctification to fit us for the enjoyment of that fellowship. The true oneness in life with the Lord Jesus as he gives us his blood to drink. The eternal joy of the hymn of praise. Thou hast redeemed us to God. All these are but rays of the wondrous light which are reflected upon us from the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I love this statement today, my dear friend. The blood must have the same place in our hearts which it has with God. We can rely upon the Lord Jesus to reveal unto us the power of his blood. I want to say this again. The blood of Jesus Christ must have the same place in our hearts as it has with God. If the blood of Jesus speaks to God and speaks to him of better things than the blood of bulls and goats, if God has fully accepted the blood of Jesus as the atonement for our sin, then we should fully accept our forgiveness and our acceptance. Hallelujah. In other words, we should stand firm in our standing, which is wrought for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. We should should be bold and confident in our faith, knowing that God accepts us, according to Ephesians chapter 1, in the Beloved. Hallelujah. And we can come behind the veil when we pray. And we can come into the very throne room of God, not only to present our petitions, but to enjoy fellowship with our Heavenly Father. You know, the Bible said in His presence, there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there is pleasure forevermore. The Bible literally said to be so joyful and confident in their approach to God, and even in the Old Covenant, when they couldn't even go behind the veil, it said, come before His presence with singing. Praise God. Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter His courts with praise. Amen. But enter His gates, enter His courts, and come before His presence with singing. I don't know what you do in your praise service on Sunday morning, but we seek our praises to be vertical, our songs to be vertical. Our praise team is instructed to not make it horizontal. Don't sing to the people. Sing before the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And draw the people in the audience into the worship of the living God. And particularly thankfulness for what Jesus has done through His shed blood at the cross. Amen. There is nothing, friend, that draws our hearts nearer to God, filling them with God's love and joy and glory, as living in constant spiritual view of that blood. The blood of Jesus is the greatest mystery of eternity, the deepest mystery of the divine wisdom. It is this confident trust in Him that the blessing obtained by the blood becomes ours. We must never in thought separate the blood from the high priest who shed it and ever lives to apply it. Praise God. You know, the Bible said that He ever lives. He ever lives. We are saved to the uttermost because He ever lives to make intercession for us. Amen. He who once gave His blood for us will, oh so surely, every moment, impart its efficacy. Trust Him to do this. Trust Him to open your eyes, to give you a deeper spiritual insight. Trust Him to teach you to think about the blood as God thinks about it. Trust Him to impart to you and to make effective in you all that He enables you to see. Trust Him above all in the power of His eternal high priesthood to work out in you unceasingly the full merits of His blood, so that your whole life may be an uninterrupted abiding in the sanctuary of God's presence. Praise God. Andrew Murray had an insight into what the blood of Jesus had accomplished for you and I, and what it wants to accomplish within us. Praise the Lord. And how I appreciate that little book talking about the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. It is inspired with the great gospel song, There's Power in the Blood. The title for these teachings, praise God, the devils tremble when they hear about the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. And angels rejoice, and saints are filled with thankful hearts, gratitude, and praise. Hallelujah. Make no mistake about it, this is a blood covenant from the beginning to the end. I like what Horatius Bonar said. He said, not what these hands have done. I want to read that to you today. He said, not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel nor do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. To love me, O God, not my poor love to Thee. Thy love to me, O God, not my poor love to Thee, can rid me of this dark unrest and set my spirit free. Thy grace alone, O God, to me can pardon speak. Thy power alone, O Son of God, can this sore bondage break. I bless the Christ of God. I rest on love divine. And with unfaltering lip and heart, I call this Savior mine. Hallelujah. What love is provoked by the message of Jesus and His shed blood, His suffering, His death upon the cross. What devotion is demanded from our hearts when this kind of love is poured upon us so absolutely, unconditionally free. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior that we serve today. What a wonderful love has been displayed at the old rugged cross. You know, some people are offended when we talk about the blood of Jesus. They don't see the beauty of His blood. They don't see the wonder that this represents a love beyond anything the world or the universe has ever known. The blood was a costly pardon obtained by us. 1 Corinthians 6:20 said, "For you are bought with a price." We talked about that price in our opening scripture. "Not with silver or gold, corruptible things that not only are corruptible, as I said last week, but have the power to corrupt. For the love of money is the root of all evil." The love of riches. We're supposed to love God, and then we can put riches and money in their proper perspective. There's nothing more precious than the blood of Jesus. Nothing more costly than His shed blood. Amen. Christ and Him crucified. He was betrayed. He was deserted. He was beaten. He was disfigured. The cross was an instrument of torture and death. The execution, the shame, His loneliness on that cross, His disappointment, the hours, six of them, in agony, the agonies of death, His thirst, His thorn-crowned brow, His hands nailed fast to the accursed tree, bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. There's beauty, even in the scars in His body. Amen. Because after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to Thomas, and Thomas just couldn't handle it. He couldn't get his mind around it. He couldn't believe that he saw this man die moment by moment upon that cross in terrible agony and pain. He saw them take a limp body down, and he saw this dead man in the arms of his mother as they prepared his body for burial. And now this man stands vibrant. This man stands fully alive, and he's looking at this man, and he says, "I can't believe this. I just can't believe this. I can't believe what my eyes are seeing. My eyes see it, but my mind is telling me this cannot be." And Jesus, amen, opened His robe, and He showed the scars on His hand as He pulled up His sleeves and His wrist. And He said, "Thomas, come and put your finger in the scars. Come and thrust your hand in the wound in my side." And Thomas said, "I don't need to do that." He fell to his knees and said, "My Lord and my God." Just seeing those scars and knowing this is that body, still having the scars upon it, but fully alive. I don't believe there'll be any disfigured people in heaven. I don't believe there'll be any disabled people in heaven. I believe everyone in heaven will be perfect, amen, and have a perfect glorified body. But I do believe, because Jesus rose with scars, that those scars of remembrance will be on His body throughout all eternity. And looking at all the glory and grandeur of heaven, we'll be reminded that we are in this place forever, enjoying the bliss and joy of eternal life and each other forever, because of one thing, because that He sacrificed Himself. He shed His blood, and those scars will remind us of the powerful love that caused Him to stay on the cross, that He could give eternal life to you and me. There's a story that comes out of the book Chicken Soup for the Soul, and the name of it is The Beauty of the Scar. And it's a true story. A little boy went to his mother, with his mother, to the primary school's first teacher-parent conference. Little boy had hoped that she didn't want to go. This would be the first time that his classmates and teacher met his mother, and he was embarrassed about her appearance. Although she was a beautiful woman, there was a severe scar that covered nearly the entire right side of her face. The boy never wanted to talk about why or how she got the scar. At the conference, the people were impressed by the kindness and natural beauty of his mother, despite the scar, but the little boy was still embarrassed, hid himself from everyone. He did, however, get within earshot of a conversation between his mother and his teacher, and he heard them speaking. "How did you get the scar on your face?" the teacher asked. The mother replied, "When my son was a baby, he was in a room that caught on fire. Everyone was too afraid to go in because the flames were out of control. So I went in. As I was running toward his crib, I saw a beam come falling down. I placed myself over him, trying to shield him. I was knocked unconscious, but fortunately a fireman came in and saved both of us." She touched the burned side of her face. "This scar will be permanent. But to this day, I've never regretted doing what I did." At this point, the little boy came out, running toward his mother with tears in his eyes. He hugged her and felt an overwhelming sense of the sacrifice that his mother had made for him. He held her hand tightly for the rest of the day. Friend, in similar manner, Jesus bears not just a scar, but many scars. In fact, when we realize that his ugly scars are the result of his efforts to save me and you, we see their special beauty. Those scars led Thomas to say in John 20:28, "My Lord and my God." And they lead us to say the same thing. We can be so thankful that something so ugly, so horrible, has taken on such beauty because of the great love that the Father had, that He would give for us His only begotten Son, and the great love that Jesus had for us, that He would hang on that tree just to save you and just to save me. Ah, friend, there's beauty in blood pouring from hands and feet and side and head. There's beauty in the blood of Jesus. There's beauty in the love of God that was shown to us so clearly on the cross. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know why He hung there. He hung there so people like you and me and thousands like us, millions, could come to Him, repent of our sin, and receive forgiveness. He loved you enough to provide it through pain, suffering, and death. Would you come to Him right now? Would you come just as you are? You have scars too. Life and sin has left you scarred. But God stands ready to heal all of your wounds, to erase all of your scars of memory that hurt you, to save you, seal you for eternity. Would you come now and say, "Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. Save my soul." If you do, the blood will be applied today. Christian, stand in your standing. Don't let anyone or anything discourage you, dissuade you, defraud you of what is yours in Christ. Stand boldly and proclaim that you are blood bought and blood washed. And you take your stand today. Whoa, we love you. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?